Good morning. Good morning. Good morning. Oh, it's so good to see all of your faces. What a beautiful day the Lord has made. And I am so happy to rejoice and be glad in it. Is anybody with me? Wow, that was really sad. Is anybody with me? You guys, like, I spent all night with the Lord last night. It was kind of the coolest thing in the world. I'll have to tell you guys about that later. But in that time, it was like something in me came alive that hasn't been alive for a long time, to the point where I almost feel like I have to ask you guys for forgiveness because I haven't been turned on like I should be. Like when I come up here, I'm kind of giving you sometimes old manna that I've been holding on to, and it's not really good anymore because it's not for the season. I think it is because God, you know, he's good and he breathes on things, right? But ultimately, like, I'm like, wow, why don't I do this more often? Like, just be in the presence of the Lord and not really worry about tomorrow or the other things that are you know, I tell people about it, but to do it is a whole other thing, right? And he was just, it was just the best time, you guys. So I'm going to challenge you guys, if you guys will bear with me and trust the Jesus that's in me, okay? You guys think you can do that? Yeah? Okay. Might be a little weird, okay? So what I want you to do, if you trust, is I want you to take your shoes off and just, it's okay. It's okay. If you don't want to, that's okay. I'm not going to be offended. But if you can and you want to, I'm challenging you, because what I'm doing is I'm doing a prophetic act of getting us out of our comfort zone, right? When we are with good friends or in our homes, in familiar places, we generally kick off our shoes when we feel safe, right? Like that's our signature of like, I'm resting. And I want to begin our morning with resting in him, resting in his presence, in his house, this being his house, us being his house, but that we are at peace. We are making that prophetic statement to the enemy that I am at peace in the Lord Jesus Christ right now as I am worshiping him, as I am putting the things before him, that this is going to be the reminder when I start feeling distracted in my thoughts, like something starts coming up and I'm thinking about that instead of engaging in worship, I'll look down at my feet and be like, oh yeah, okay, God, back at you, you know? Like, I want us to come alive in him today. I want us to be excited because he came, you guys. He came and he died to have relationship with us. Not to pew sit with us, not to just spectate, but to do things with us. So I encourage you, if you want to take another step in vulnerability, bear with me, is if you can and you want to, come up here in the unknown, okay? It can be really uncomfortable, but I believe that God is moving and doing big things today, and I don't want you guys to miss out. Now, it doesn't mean that he can't splash way to the back because, you know, there's place for you guys too and he doesn't not see you. But if you can, I encourage you. Hey! So I'm gonna catch you up to speed, okay? What we're doing is we're making a prophetic act if you want to. And because when we're at home and we're safe and we feel good, we kick off our shoes. So if you will and you want to, kick off your shoes to be vulnerable before the Lord. And then if you want to take it a step further, I'm inviting and opening up this space up here so that you guys can meet God in a new way today. Because I feel like he's doing big things. And I feel like he's stirring some of us up. And sometimes, not that he can't reach you in your seats, but there's something to be said about putting yourself in a position that's different than what you're used to so that you can feel him, experience him, meet him differently than before. So that's my challenge to you. Take it or leave it. But Lord, we just give you this service, Father. We just give you this worship. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. We glorify your name. We magnify you, Jesus. We thank you for your sacrifice, God. And we just give this worship time to you in Jesus' name.
Worthy is the Lord, never was. I can't contain, that I can't control. I want hello. To catch everybody up that came in late, yes, people have their shoes off. Yes, there's people in the altar area. So, I'm just amazed at the Lord. I had no idea what Pastor Eric was going to sing today. And he started singing, "We Want More." And I'm like, God, you are the coolest. And let me tell you why. We were down in the prayer room praying over the service today. Skylie, can you get that bucket off of there for me? Oh, I got it. Thank you. And we were praying today, and Pastor Eric's prayer contained the word condition. He said and prayed, God, condition our hearts. Okay, now, I'm going to talk a little bit about condition, and nobody better look at my hair. But there's such a thing as conditioning your hair. There's such a thing as deep conditioning your hair. There's even such a thing as double conditioning your hair. Women, you know what I'm talking about, yes? Yes. And men that really care about their hair, you probably do too. Okay, with that being said, it takes a process. It takes time to condition, deeply condition, double condition. You've got to stand in the shower for a heck of a long time. Let me just tell you, to get that to work, and you're like shaving legs and, you know, washing and singing and doing whatever else it is that you happen to do in the shower. But let me tell you, you got to wait for the conditioner to work. Okay. Condition our hearts. What a beautiful thing. Jesus wants to get in there and condition your heart. He wants the time to condition your heart. Now, let me just tell you. Yes, every one of these folks up here, save me, has their shoes off. That was number one. Pastor Nancy says, you know, if you're brave, take your shoes off. This is when you're comfortable with Jesus. It's like your living room. You don't wear your shoes in your living room. Your feet are bare, or they at least have socks on them. Okay, the next thing is, if you want more, take a step out and come on up here. Now, if you want more, I'm going to just be so bold as to say, Skylie, could you step back a little bit? Because you're going to run into something in a minute. If you want more, could you please take a step forward? Do you really want more? So that means all y'all sitting out there, that would mean you probably have to come up here because there's a chair right in front of you, right? Okay, so we're going to get more. Are you ready for more? Now, I really feel this. I have felt it all morning long. And this is so exciting. So, Pastor Eric, we're going to sing More of You, More Poured Out, whatever it is you sing. And I'm going to come around and I'm going to touch everybody. I really feel that there's a point of touching that just strengthens our faith a little bit, yes? That means I'm agreeing with your prayer for you, that what Jesus wants for you. So if y'all want to come up here, I invite you up here. Come on now, don't be afraid. And we're going to pray, and we're going to believe for more of God in our life, yes? So men, I'm going to ask some of y'all to come pray for Pastor Mike, because we're going to start with him, because then he's going to help me pray for others. Here we go.
We want more. this service, Lord. Let your ever-loving, overwhelming presence fill this place, Lord. Let it fill those who are praying for others, and let it fill those who are being prayed for, Lord. Let there be no inch of this building that your presence is not felt. Lord, overwhelm us and pour into us so we can leave to pour out and overwhelm with your spirit and your love on others, Lord. This service is yours, Lord. This worship is yours, Lord. Lord, hear it. Lord, let it bless your heart. Let it cause you to pour out even more. Let it cause your heart to want to come and overwhelm even more, Lord. We love you, Lord. We want your presence, Lord. We lay everything down here today, Lord, in your presence, Lord, to worship you, to serve you, Lord. We just thank you, Lord, for your presence, for your overwhelming presence, Lord, in our daily lives, and not just today, Lord, but every day. Thank you.
saw ahead what would come and wanted to share your love. We want you, Jesus.
Okay, we're gonna greet one another in Jesus. We're going to get coffee if you want, and then we're going to meet back here in just a few.
Check, check, check. All right. Good morning. Good morning. We are going to do our declarations over the city today. So if you would not mind standing with me, we're going to declare God's goodness over the Yakima Valley, over what he has been doing. Amen. All right. So say this with me in unison on three. One, two, three. Thank you, Lord, for what you are doing in the Yakima Valley right now. And today we declare that my city will be saved, that revival will sweep the streets of the Yakima Valley, that every business, big or small, will thrive, that the families in my city will have all of their needs met. I declare that every politician in our city and state would have the wisdom of heaven, that you would use me in doing all these things. And I declare that your will be done in Yakima as it is in heaven. Amen. Lord, we just thank you so much for who you are, Lord, in our valley, for who you are in this place, God. And I thank you, Lord, that we, Lord, as your children, as believers in this place, God, we get to be a light, Lord, in our city, in our valley, God. We thank you so much, God, for the great opportunity you've given us, God, to be in this place, to live in this place. And we just thank you, Jesus, that you are blessing us. You're blessing every home represented here. You're blessing every part of our valley that we live in, God. And we just thank you, Jesus, for all of these things. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. All right. I get to do the announcements this morning. We have a men's breakfast, March 16th. How many men came to the last men's breakfast? Few? Oh, there were a few here, weren't there? I thought there were more. We had about 20 people. There must have been like a crew that you guys came, didn't you? Yeah. Did you come? Yeah, I thought you did. Okay. It was really good. And so I want to encourage all the men to make it. Bring friends to this because it gives them an opportunity to, you know, not have a churchy environment, even though it's at church. We usually get a guest speaker comes in. Last time, Pastor Rick Jolly did an amazing job. So I encourage you, 8:30, there's food, and just come and enjoy the food and the fellowship. Amen? Amen. And I want to thank everyone who's giving to this house, everyone that tithes, everyone that offers, everyone that puts God first in your life. I want to thank you for that. Keeping the bills and everything here going, we've been able to keep most of our bills paid, a few that are a little bit behind, but the Lord's taking care of that right now. So if you want to give, you can give in this box up front, box in the back, or on onelifefamilyworship.com and click the give button. All right, so I have some information. As I said, we had a family meeting about three or four weeks ago, something like that. And I communicated to you about this building here. And this is out in Sela on McGonigal, is the way you pronounce it. And so what ended up happening, we ended up going to the attorney on that Monday. I think it was the 4th that we met, so it's been about 3 weeks. And so we ended up going to the attorney and we ended up communicating, you know, the different things that we had to communicate with all the different churches that were involved. There's three churches involved with this. And it's kind of like a miracle taking place. So what ended up happening is that Grace ended up bringing the entire committee, which is the pastors who basically are in like oversight of all of this region, which is Washington, Alaska, Idaho, and Montana. And so all of them came, except for one. He was on a cruise, so we didn't ask him to come because he was on a cruise with his wife. So anyway, what ended up happening is that we met with them. They went to all the different facilities. They were at with the attorney, and then we had dinner with them, but they didn't really get into a whole lot. But they were all 100% for the deal. So what had to happen after that, it had to go to Grace International in Houston. And so as of last Friday, I heard that they were 100%. So as far as we're concerned, There's been no closed doors. There's all open doors. And it looks like the Lord is doing a miracle here. So what's going to happen is sometime this week, we'll be signing two documents. And that will be for the church to be sold to Living Faith Victory Center, Rick Jolly and his church. And then we'll be purchasing this church that you're seeing up here. And what ends up happening is that all the equity that we have in this building, even though, you know, we've been struggling with payments and stuff, all the equity that we have is now being put onto this church in Selah that we'll buy outright. So as far as a building payment, there will be no building payment. We'll have a little bit left over that we'll be paying Grace International for the shortfall that we've had through the years. But because of this, we're going to be able to have, we're not going to have to be paddling, you know, stay above water all the time. And we'll actually be able to say, Lord, what do you want us to do with our income? Especially once we get grace paid off, we'll be able to say, Lord, is there a missionary you want us to support? Or is there a mission that you want us to do in Yakima? We'll have, you know, resources to do things we haven't been able to do because we've just had to pay the bills. So praise God. If there's anyone that would like to go and visit the facility before we actually move over there, please let me know. You can come up to me after church. You can text me and I can arrange for you to come over and see it. It's, as you see, the sanctuary is beautiful. It was just redone 3 years ago completely. And it's got a furnace in there that is that's a year and a half old. So, I mean, it's got a new roof. I mean, it's, we aren't going to have to do a whole bunch of stuff, you know, so praise God. Amen? Amen. So this should be the plan. If we sign sometime this week, it will go to the title company. And so then probably, if everything works out, we should be in there by Easter or the week before. I know, right? That's fast, yeah. Well, it seems fast, but if you remember right, it's last year we were sitting over here that I even mentioned that we might be selling the building. So it's taken a year, so it wasn't that fast. Rick Jolly spent almost 11 months, maybe 10 months, figuring out if he could actually get this building and do everything that he needs to do on it. And his price for fixing this building up is about $1 million. So, just know that this building needs some love, you know. It needs insulation, it needs windows, it needs new furnaces. I mean, and they have the resources to do that. So, praise God. This building is going to still be here. It's going to be a church. It's going to be a landmark for the community. And I believe lives are going to continue to be reached from here. Amen. Does anyone have any questions at all? Everyone good? Okay. The address is 330 McGonigal Drive, I believe. So, yeah, I just looked that up today, so in case anybody wanted to look it up. All right. Well, let me tell you what happened this morning. Yesterday I got my message. I thought, you know, about three quarters done, maybe 90%. It was just coming together really good. You know, it was going to be on the helmet of salvation. And so, you know, I love salvation. You know, I love God's salvation. So I was finishing it up this morning, and I got to like the because what I do is I bring all the different verses that I've been reading over the past 2 days, and I start to bring them together, and I try to get something that's flowing. And so I went through it, and then I said, that just doesn't sound right. So I moved some scriptures around, and I said, I don't have like the ending. It's like, and this doesn't happen to me very often. Usually when I'm sharing the message, I know exactly the feel in my heart that I'm going for. You know, it's not that I have notes, but the scriptures become my notes. And it just didn't feel right. And so I said, okay, well, I'm going to go ahead and grab this scripture from up here. And I'll get rid of the first two, and I'll move it to the end, and I think that'll work. So it was like a kind of like baling wire and twine, finishing it up, you know. And so what ended up happening is that I send it over, and I'll share it, and Lord, you know, Holy Spirit, you're going to make up the difference. But it just didn't settle right. So about 8 o'clock, was it? What? No, it was about 6 o'clock. 6 o'clock, I get a text, and it's from Nancy. She says, this morning, she says, Pastor, I have something. And as she said, she's been up all night. So, I mean, And she said, but, you know, if it'd be fine if you can wait. And I said, wait a minute. We're always praying. We're always believing God that he's going to do supernatural. He's going to put the word of the Lord on people's hearts. There's no way I'm going to say no. So this can pause. And I didn't tell her at the time, but I'm already thinking, well, that's probably why it didn't finish, because it didn't settle right. I should have probably said, Lord, am I even supposed to share today? And maybe would have gone in on the in line. But right now, let's give it up for Nancy. She's going to come and bring the word, and let's open our hearts to receive what she has for us. Amen? Yes. Are you going to use this or the one of
this? This one.
Okay.
Hi, guys. So, are you going to get that for me? Thank you. So my husband's going to grab the board for me, because I have some words for you guys today. This is kind of fun. Like, I do get words from the Lord, and sometimes they're for today, sometimes they're for times way future. I just never know. But I, like you said, I was up with the Lord all night last night. It was actually really fun. Like, it's kind of funny because I was telling him, actually the night before is Friday, and Friday is my big campus day for homeschooling, where I take the kids to school. I sub in the morning usually, and then I'm teaching all afternoon. So by the time I get home, I'm done. So I have to take like a nap for about 2 hours before I can, you know, continue with my day. Well, I fell asleep, and I went to sleep for 12 hours. I just, my husband let me sleep. He took care of the kids. I was done. But then I come in last night, and I was like, there was not an ounce of tired in me. I was like, the Lord was like doing something, stirring something in my heart. And at first I was like, man, is that the espresso I had earlier? But I knew it wasn't. That was like a question of doubt trying to keep me off track. So I kept trying to like lay there like, no, it's okay. It'll wear off. But he was like, no, it won't. And so he just continued to talk to me and stirring things in my heart to I had to get up, and I had to start writing them out just so I could like start to like stop feeling so, I don't know, crazy. Anyway. The good news of salvation and the scandal of grace. Isn't that funny that you were going to talk about the helmet of salvation? And that's the good news of salvation. Actually, you know, can everybody see this or no? Kind of. No. Do you guys want to trust me one more time? You guys want to bring everybody over this way to it? Yeah, and I can turn it all one way, and we can all be together, and the anointing can kind of try to move on this side of the room, because sometimes I feel like we steal it all over there. I know, I'm just really taking you guys out of your comfort zones today, aren't I? Just not doing things normal. That's okay. Oh, well. Okay. Hey, Tegan, can you? All right. So can everybody see this? I got to move the table. Okay, I could do that. I don't even know how much I'll use the table, honestly. Okay. So these are scriptures that the Lord laid on my heart as he was kind of talking with me and working through. Like, this is something that, some of these things are things that the Lord has been working on with me for a while, and some of them are new. And so I wanted you guys to come along with me in this to be a little bit more interactive, kind of like what I do with my youth. So I have some on here. Starting with Matthew 27, 28 through 32. Everybody has phone and phone on their Bible, or Bible on their phone, right? Yes? If you do, I'd like some volunteers to help me read these scriptures when appointed, okay? So who wants to take Matthew 27, 28 through 32? Pastor's got it. Okay. Maybe I can do this so we don't forget. Because there's a lot of them. Okay. Luke 23, 20 through 43. Okay. Nate, can you get that in the Passion Translation? Okay. All right. Hebrews 6:11. Mama? Okay, Gigi. Okay. Mark 6:1-6. Oh, we got two. Okay, so, all right, I'll give it to you, Noah. Don't all get excited at this at once, okay? Matthew 8:5-13. I'll give it to you. Passion Translation, do you got that? On your phone? Cool. Oh my gosh. And then John 16:1-33?
Is that
Eric? No. Okay. Oh, I'm sorry. That's me. I'm sorry. You're right. That's me. I see what you're saying. That's me. I'm taking that one. Okay. Just kidding. Nobody gets that one. Okay. Matthew 9:27-31. Skyly. Okay. Matthew 17, 14 through 21. Going once, twice. Katie. Okay. James 2, 14 through 21. I will pick on you if nobody wants to volunteer. Mom. Okay. Me, Mom. Got it. And then Habakkuk 2, 2 through 4. I'll take that one too. That's fine. Okay. All right. So when I'll let you know whenever you need to read. So just be ready. Okay. Have that with you. Can we just pray? Kind of get refocused. So Lord, I just thank you for this time. God, I thank you for the words that you've given me to speak. Father, I pray that you would continue to allow me to be an open vessel to you. God, that these would be your words, that you would move mightily in this message. God, that hearts would be transformed, like fires would be ablazing, and that people would leave here changed in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Okay. So I'm just going to preface you guys for a little bit with, we're going to start in Matthew 27, 28 through 32. This is kind of like, I'm going to just give you a little bit of background. Jesus has just been brought to before the people, to Pilate, and he is expected to crucify this guy, you know, that nobody can find any fault in. So that would be Pastor, Matthew 27, 28 through 32. Oh. Caden's got the mic, I guess. He's going to be bringing the mic around for people.
And they stripped him and put a scarlet robe on him. When they had twisted a crown of thorns, they put it on his head and a reed in his right hand. And they bowed the knee before him and mocked him, saying, "Hail, King of the Jews." Then they spat on him and took the reed and struck him on the head. And when they had mocked him, they took the robe off him, put his own clothes on him, and led him away to be crucified. Now as they came out, they found a man of Cyrene, Simon by name. Him they compelled to bear his cross.
Wow. So again, they put Jesus, they gave him to Pilate, and he's going willingly, right? Like, he's answered all the questions, they find no fault, but yet they still, so, but Pilate didn't want to crucify Jesus because he found no fault in him. So instead, he decided to flog him really harshly, thinking that, okay, I did what you guys, I did a good deed, I'm going to send him on his way because he's really not even guilty, but to satisfy the blood, right? Like, people were out for blood. But then the people were not having it. They were not happy. That wasn't enough for them. They wanted him dead. So even though Pilate could find no fault and wanted him released, but the people demanded blood. So Luke 23, 20 through 43. Nate. Yeah, he's got it.
Okay, there you go. Pilate, wanting to release Jesus, tried to convince them it was the best to let Jesus go, but they screamed over and over, "Crucify him, crucify him." A third time, Pilate asked the crowd, "What evil crime has this man committed that I should have him crucified? I haven't found one thing that warrants a death sentence. I will have him flogged severely and then release him." But the people and the high priest, shouting like a mob, scream at the top of their lungs, "No, crucify him, crucify him." Finally, their shouts and screams succeeded. Pilate caved in to the crowd and ordered that the will of the people will be done. Then he released the guilty murderer, Barbarius, as they had insisted, and handed Jesus over to be crucified. Okay, I'm still going. As the guards led Jesus to be crucified, there was an African man in the crowd named Simon. From Liberia, he had just arrived from a rural village to keep the feast of the Passover. The guards had laid Jesus' cross on Simon's shoulders and forced him to walk behind Jesus carrying his cross. Massive crowds gathered to follow Jesus, including a number of women who were wailing with sorrow over him. Jesus turned to them and said, "Daughters of Jerusalem, do not weep for me. You should be keeping for yourselves and your children. The day is coming when it will not be women with children who are blessed, but those who are childless, then you will say the barren women are most fortunate. Those who have never given birth and never nursed a child, they are more fortunate than we, for they will never see the children put to death. And the people will cry out for the mountains and hills to fall on top of them, to hide them from all that is to come. For if it is what they do, okay, I need a break to breathe. Okay. Okay, what am I on now? 31? Okay.
31.
For if this is what they do to the living branch, what will they do to the dead ones? The guards led away two criminals with Jesus to execute all three of them at the same time. When they came to the place that is unknown as the skull, the guards crucified Jesus, nailing him on the center cross between the two criminals. While they were nailing Jesus to the cross, he prayed and over, "Father, forgive them. They do not know what they're doing." The soldiers, after they crucified, gambled over his clothing. A great crowd gathered to watch what was happening. The religious leaders sneered at Jesus and mocked, saying, "Look at this man. What kind of chosen Messiah is this? He pretended to save others, but he can't even save himself." The soldiers joined in the mockery, offering Jesus a drink of vinegar. Over Jesus' head of the cross was written,
what?
An inscription in Greek, Latin, and Aramaic. This man is the king of all Jews, and the soldiers laughed and scoffed at him, saying, "Hey, if you are the king of Jews, why don't you save yourself?" One of the criminals hanging on the cross next to him kept ridiculing, saying, "What kind of Messiah are you? Save yourself and save us from death." The criminal hanging on the other cross rebuked the man, "Don't you fear God? You're about to die. We deserve to be condemned. We're just being repaid for what we've done." But this man had done nothing wrong. Then he said, "I beg you, Jesus, show me a grace and take me into your everlasting kingdom." Jesus responded, "I promise you this day you will enter paradise with me."
This day you will enter paradise with me. You guys, I stayed away from this particular part of Gospels for a long time. I watched The Passion of the Christ when I was a teenager, and we had encounters where we would watch it over and over, and it was like, it's never been easy for me, because this man who did nothing to deserve it was stripped, humiliated. He had his head beaten in with crown of thorns even before he ever got put up on the cross. And then he's meant to walk as everybody is spitting on him. The same people who just a week prior were praising him with palm leaves and putting things down before him, how beloved he was. And all of a sudden, a week later, he's now being spit on, beaten, bruised, and I can't handle that. He did nothing except come to help the sick, right? He came to show what the Father has for us. And so for a lot of years, I stayed away from that scripture. I would read the Gospels up until that point, and then I would just kind of skim over because I didn't know how to face it. And part of that, I think, is because I'm partly responsible. Knowing that Jesus, on that day, when he chose to get on the cross, he did it for me as well as for you. And even for those who have done mean and awful things to me, for those who have done the most horrific things in the world, those who we think deserve no good, no glory, no nothing, but Jesus died for them the same as he died for me. And that's hard. That's hard, because when I sin, I'm putting him back up there, and I'm accusing him once again, right? Like, because I continue to go back to that old flesh, that old mindset, thinking that I'm not walking the way that he would have me do. And therefore, you know, that punishment, you know what I mean? It's kind of the idea. Of course, he's not back on the cross. He did it once. That was good enough. But it's the concept. It's the idea that, oh, I haven't figured this out yet, you know? But the Lord has been working with me lately, because I think in our world, we think that there is, there's like tears to sin. Like, you know, a little white lies are not a big deal, but but to hurt a little child in the most horrific of ways is awful, right? Jesus died for them too. So even when they have been persecuted here in the earth and they're in that cell and they're ready to face death, if they choose to say, Jesus, I believe in you, they get the same grace I do. That is the scandal of grace. Salvation is for everyone, whether you want it or not. It's there because he bought it. He paid the price so that you could have it. What a good news is that? You know what I mean? Like, there's not one thing that we can do to add to or take away from what Jesus did that day. Not a darn thing. So no matter how many works you do, no matter how many good deeds you do, it doesn't make it any better or any more than. You get it at its fullest. He did it, completed it, so that we could live in his fullness. Even those who wait until the very last hour, when they're before him and they say, my Jesus, I got it wrong. He's like, yes, you did. However, I love you too. You know, he didn't. That's where the enemy loses. And I think we forget sometimes because the enemy seems so big when he's causing all this chaos and making all this mess and making all this noise. We forget that he's lost. The victory is already won. There's not like the thing that the territory that we're going after that we feel like we have to fight for is already ours. He is in our territory. He is on our grounds. He has no authority to have those grounds, not in healing, not in finances, not in marriages, not in relationship with children, not with anything. The enemy has no place because he has already been defeated. Amen. He comes to steal, kill, and destroy our belief, our faith, and brings doubt and all the things to make us think that we have to continue to fight, but that ground is already ours. And I need you guys to get that today. Because the authority in the name of Jesus, because of what he did, we get to. He did it so that, okay, I'm getting ahead of myself. Jesus, bless you. Okay. Okay, so salvation is not earned, but given. Whether we want it or not, it's ours to receive as a gift as we choose to embrace it. But we have to come to terms with, do we believe that what God did was enough? That he will do exactly what he says, which is we have the authority. When Jesus died, he did it so that we could, A, have relationship with Jesus. So we no longer, or God himself, face the Father. Like, Jesus doesn't have to petition for us anymore because we actually get to go to the Father ourselves and say, Father, I love you and I'm sorry. And he's like, I love you and it's okay. Just go and sin no more, right? He doesn't. Now, I'm going to go there. Okay. So sometimes we do this and some people might weigh in on the side of like, yep, Jesus did this. And so there's all this grace and let it down. I can keep sinning, but that's not what it's about. Jesus did not do it for the greasy grace stuff. He did it so that when you honestly make a mistake, you can go before him and learn from that mistake and continue, turn 180 and do something different the next time. And if you happen to stumble, that's okay. He'll hold you accountable and help pick you back up to try again because he's a good father, right? Okay. I know, Lord. I'm sorry. Okay. Okay, so again, I said, the enemy will come to steal your joy, kill your belief, and destroy your faith because it is impossible to please God without faith. So this is the other piece of that. So Jesus did the work, but that happened a long time ago, and so it's easy to think that it's just a story. Do we really believe that what he did on that cross, do we get to carry the authority that he gave? Like the name of Jesus, we carry Jesus in us. That same authority to heal the sick, to cast out demons, to speak life into others is ours. Okay? We get to do those things. But do we believe? And it's up to the amount of our faith, we will see it happen. Okay? Let's cover that. Hebrews 6:11. We're going to... Yeah, who's that?
You sure you don't want 11:6 without faith?
No, 6:11.
No, 6:11.
Oh, okay.
It's good. You're good. I love it.
Our great desire is that you will keep on loving others as long as life lasts in order to make certain that you will hope that you hope for will come true, that what you hope for will come true.
You want 11:6.
I think it's 11:6.
11:6. But without faith, it's impossible to please God, please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him.
That's the one. See, I was testing you. Give yourself a round of applause. That was amazing, you guys. Like, yeah. See, I knew. You pass. Okay. But without faith, it is impossible to please him, for he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that not only is he, that he is a rewarder of those who diligently pursue him. Amen, right? Yep. Miracles, believe it or not, are stifled by our unbelief. They really are. I know that sometimes we say it doesn't matter how much because, you know, all you need to do is have the faith of a mustard seed. But we forget that, no, our faith and lack thereof will either cause a great thing to happen or hinder the greatest thing to ever happen. Isn't that crazy? So, Mark 6, 1 through 6. Noah, I'm pretty sure I have that one right.
Jesus left there and went to his hometown accompanied by his disciples. When the Sabbath came, he began to teach in the synagogue, and many who heard him were amazed. Where did this man get these things, they asked. What's this wisdom that has been given to him? What are these remarkable miracles he is performing? Isn't this a carpenter? Isn't this Mary's son and the brother of James, Joseph, Judas, and Simon? Aren't his sisters here with us? And they took offense at him. Jesus said to them, a prophet is not without honor except in his own town, among his relatives, and in his own home. He could not do any miracles here except lay his hands on a few sick people and heal them. He was amazed at their lack of faith. Then Jesus went around teaching from village to village.
Did you hear that, you guys? Even Jesus was hindered in his ability to heal because of the lack of faith. In his own hometown, the people that knew him best, knew him most, doubted him the greatest and caused him. I mean, he was able to heal a few because he laid hands on them. But it didn't come easily. That just baffles me that even Jesus had a heart was hindered at times because of the lack of belief. Lots and lots of times in scripture, I wish I would have written how many times, he was burdened at the idea, like, oh, ye who have such little faith, how many times do I have to tell you? believe, have faith, go in peace, believe. You know what I mean? Like, it's over and over and over. If there's one thing that he tells you is believe, have faith, don't give up. The enemy is such a crafty little blah, blah, blah. Yep. He's nasty. He has figured out, though, that all we need is a little unbelief to hinder what it is that God's doing. That's it. He doesn't have to do anything. All he has to do is put a little question of doubt, a little disbelief, like, oh, am I really able to do that? Like, I don't know. What if I pray for that person and it doesn't happen? Or, oh, it's just Nancy coming to pray for me. I mean, what can she do? She's just the daughter of Tim and Vicky. What, you know, she hasn't done much. She's not that cool. Right? Most people want the lead pastor to come and lay hands on them because that's where the most anointing comes from, right? Exactly. For whatever reason, we forget that we, every single one of us, including my little Ayana and Tegan, they have the fullness of God in them, just the same as you and me. There is no junior Holy Spirit. So if they're feeling the Lord, he says, come and be like the children, actually, because they have no filter. They have no life experience to tell them otherwise. They believe full-heartedly because God says so. So it must be so. So actually, I believe that they've received the fullness because they've grasped it better, because they don't have life experience to tear them down and say otherwise. So when they are going up to somebody and they're looking at you and they're doing something in the spirit, believe you me, they are making mountains move and they are breaking walls down. And you can do the same. It's just a matter of telling that enemy to get behind you because he has no authority. That is your ground. This is our ground. And we stand together. When I pull you guys up here to do this, it's because I want us to be together on a united front so that way the enemy knows, where two or more gather, it's hot. You can't break that cord, right? But when we stand alone, it's easy to isolate and get those little questions and doubts going and distractions going and let it up. But when we stand together and we are a unified front, you can't tear that down. You can try your darndest. But just like elephants, they all surround their babies, and then the enemies can't get there, right? They, like, make that force field. That's what we should be with each other. Instead of scoffing at one another about the mistakes that we've been making or that we know that this person isn't doing that right, instead of talking and slandering our brothers and sisters, going up beside them and saying, hey, how can I be praying for you? How can I speak life into you? What do you need? Because you, the authority, the Jesus that is in you, is powerful, just as powerful as him in his flesh, right? So let's read about that. So we're going to move on to Matthew 8, 5 through 13.
Jesus heals the son of a Roman officer. When Jesus entered the village of Capernaum, a captain in the Roman army approached him, asking for a miracle. Lord, he said, I have a son who is lying at home paralyzed, suffering terribly. Jesus responded, I will go with you and heal him. But the Roman officer interjected, Lord, who am I to have you come into my house? I understand your authority, for I too am a man who walks under authority and have authority over soldiers who serve under me. I could tell one to go and he'll go, and another to come and he'll come. I command my servants and they'll do whatever I ask. So I know that all you need to do is stand here and command healing over my son, and he will be instantly healed. Jesus was astonished when he heard this and said to those who were following him, he has greater faith than anyone I have encountered in Israel. Listen to what I am about to tell you. Multitudes of Gentiles will stream from the east and west to enter into the heavenly kingdom with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. But many Israelites born to be heirs of the kingdom will be turned away and banished into the darkness where there will be bitter weeping and unbearable anguish. And then Jesus turned to the Roman officer and said, go home, go home. All that you have believed for will be done for you. And his son was healed at that very moment.
His son was healed at that very moment. The moment that Jesus opened his mouth, the moment that man believed, he did it himself. His faith made his son well. All those miles away, he came just to recognize the authority. All you got to do is say the word. And I know because of the authority that I have over the men that I tell to go and they do. I say jump, they say how high. I know. You say, boy, be healed. By golly, he's going to be healed. We have that same authority in us. Jesus is in us to the same fullness. There is no junior Holy Spirit. He died so that we could have Holy Spirit, so that we can have discernment, so that we can have his greatness, and we can cover more ground than he could. He was one. We are many. We get to go to these different spheres that otherwise wouldn't be touched. I'm so blown away, you guys. Isn't that like hallelujah? Praise God. We get to heal the sick. We get to bring hope, be light of the world, salt of the earth. We get to do these cool things. And even my children, as little as Leanna and Tegan, can bring miracles, make them happen in the name of Jesus. Jesus, Jesus, he's so cool. He's like the greatest superhero ever, you know? Like I used to think it was like Captain America or Iron Man. I think Jesus is like the greatest superhero ever. And he doesn't need a cape. He doesn't need those fancy bodysuits. He had sandals and this dress thing. Like, awesome. Okay. Sorry, guys, I'm totally, okay. So, remember, the centurion amazed Christ, for as much as the disbelief astonished him, so did this faith in all things that God, all you have to do is say the word. Where do we stand? Are we like those from the hometown who are so familiar with the Lord that we forget how powerful he actually is? Or are we more like the centurion who understands the authority in which we are serving? The decree, the ring of authority that he placed on us so that we can make those same decisions in his name because he said so. Okay? John 16, 1 through 33 says, Jesus warns his disciples. Because remember, the enemy is crafty. He's not dumb. He knows he's defeated, but he just wants to make you think he's not. I have told you this. So this is Jesus talking to his disciples. I have told you this so that you would not surrender to confusion or doubt. For you will be excommunicated from the synagogues, and the time is coming when you will be put to death by misguided ones who will presume to be doing God a great service by putting you to death. Okay? And they will do these things because they don't know anything about the Father or me. Those of us who are lost in the house, we think we know it all because we read the words and we're saying the words, we know the words, we read the words. but we still have no relationship. Don't be that. Read the word, take them in, meditate on them, get to know him, put your forehead to his and see what he has to say about those things. Allow him in relationship. Okay? I'm telling you this now so that when their time comes, you will remember that I foretold it. I didn't tell you this in the beginning because I was still with you. But now that I'm about to leave you and go back to join the one who sent me, you need to be told. Yet no one of you are asking me where I'm going. Instead, your hearts are filled with sadness because I've told you these things. But here's the truth. It's to your advantage that I go away. For if I don't go away, the divine encourager, Holy Spirit, will not be released to you. But after I depart, I will send him to you. And when he comes, he will expose sin and prove that the world is wrong about God's righteousness and his judgments. Did you hear that? The world is wrong about God. If you're going to the world to find out what he has to say about things, you're in the wrong place. Don't let just those of us up here on a mic tell you. Read the word. Pray to him. Worship him. Find out for yourself. Have that relationship. This is not a yes, sir. How high, sir. This is a relationship. He wants you to challenge him. He wants Abraham's. He wants people to say, oh, God, but what if? What if? Just hear me out. What if there's like two? That's like doing the right thing. Do I really need to rebuke them? Do I really need to, you know, do this? Challenge him. He's looking for people to know his heart and challenge things that he says because they know the character of who he is. Wake up, oh sleepers. Okay? All right. Woo. Sin, because they refuse to believe in who I am. God's righteousness, because I'm going back to join the Father and you'll see me no longer. And judgment, because the ruler of this dark world has already received his sentence. There is so much more I would like to say to you, but it's more than you can grasp at this moment. But when the truth-giving Spirit comes, he will unveil the reality of every truth within you. He won't speak on his own, but only what he hears from the Father, and he will reveal prophetically to you what is to come. You guys, it's important. When you are operating in Holy Spirit and prophetic gifts, if God gives you a picture, give that picture. If he does not give you an interpretation, do not give that interpretation. You will hurt somebody more than you will help them. Sometimes we don't understand it. We're like, ooh, I don't know. Instead, ask, does that resonate with you? Does that make sense to you? If not, that's okay. Pray on it. You know what I mean? But do not give an interpretation that is not yours to give. God does not need you to make excuses for him or try to make sense, okay? I promise you, even if it's not right away, sometimes in the middle of the night, people will be woken up with like, oh, that's what that meant. I know now. Because sometimes we're closed off in the moment because we're too familiar with the source it's being given from. So we're not really susceptible. But then later the Spirit comes in, our discerner, and he's able to speak because we gave him a place to. So do not speak for the Lord. Only give what's given to you to give. Okay? Sorry, that one's for free. That wasn't in my notes. Okay, let's see here. He will glorify me on the earth, for he will receive from me what is mine and reveal it to you. Everything that belongs to the Father belongs to me. Everything that belongs to the Father belongs to me, being Jesus. Okay? And that's why I say to the divine encourager, that's why I say that the divine encourager will receive what is mine and reveal it to you. So everything that is the Father's is Jesus's, which is now ours. Okay? Soon you won't see me any longer, but then after a little while, you will see me in a new way. Some of the disciples asked each other, what does he mean? Soon you won't see me, and a little while after, you will see me in a new way. And what does he mean? Because I'm going to my Father? So they kept on repeating, trying to make sense of all this, right? So Jesus knew what they were thinking, and it was obvious that they were anxious to ask him what he had meant. So instead of just asking him, guys, Jesus wants you to come with questions. God wants you to ask him questions. He's not afraid. He's not afraid of your unbelief. He doesn't want you to stay there. Just like good parents, sometimes our kids ask us questions and it can get a little bit like, oh, did I just told you for the dead time? Yes, please put on your shoes. Jesus is so much more patient than we are. He might be a little frustrated that he has to keep saying it like, oh, I've already told you, have belief. But he's going to tell you again because he loves you that much, right? Amen. Okay, so he spoke up and said to them, "Let me make it quite clear. You will weep and be overcome with grief over what happens to me. The unbelieving world will be happy, while you will be filled with sorrow. But know this, your sadness will turn into joy when you see me again. Just like a woman giving birth experiences intense labor pains in delivering her baby," and she does. "Yet after the child is born, she quickly forgets," because she does, what it was that she just went through because of the overwhelming joy of knowing that a new baby has been born into the world. So will you also pass through a time of intense sorrow when I am taken from you, but you will see me again, and then your hearts will burst with joy, with no one being able to take it from you, for it is eternal truth." Eternal, you guys, it's true today, just as true today as it was the day it happened, okay? It hasn't stopped. It doesn't fade. Okay. "For here is eternal truth. When the time comes, you won't need to ask me for anything, but instead you will go directly to the Father and ask him for anything that you desire, and he will give it to you because of your relationship with me. Until now, you've not been able to, or been bold enough to ask the Father for a single thing in my name, but now you can ask and keep on asking him, and you can be sure that you'll receive what you ask for, and your joy will have no limits. For I have..." Oh, well, let me reread that because there's an exclamation point there. "But now you can ask and keep on asking him, and you can be sure that you'll receive what you ask for, and your joy will have no limits," you guys. Amen. Your joy will have no limits. Woo! We get to be happy people even when chaos and crazy things are happening, because we get what we need from the Father, and he wins at the end of this, right? Hallelujah. Can I hear an amen?
Amen.
Thank you. "Okay, I have spoken to you using figurative language, but the time is coming when I will no longer teach you with the veiled speech, but I will teach you about the Father with your eyes unveiled, and you'll ask him directly because of your new relationship with me. For the Father tenderly loves you because you love me and believe that I've come from God. I came to you sent from the Father's presence, and I entered into the created world, and now I will leave this world and return to my Father's side." And his disciples said, "Well, at least you're speaking to us clearly now and not using veiled speech and metaphors. Now we understand that you know everything there is to know, and we don't need to question you any further. And everything you've taught us convinces us that you have come directly from God." And Jesus replied, "Finally, you believe in me. And the time has come when you will all be scattered, and each one of you will go your own way, leaving me alone. Yet I am never alone, for the Father is always with me. And everything I've taught you is so that the peace which is in me will be in you and will give you the greatest confidence as you rest in me." You hear that? Our confidence comes from resting in him, not doing the works, not doing this and that. We can't earn it. It just is. It's a gift freely given at its fullest measure. It's up to us on how much we want to access, how much we want to activate, how much we want to put on and give out. He doesn't withhold from us. He gives us everything in full measure. We restrict ourselves. Our lack of belief, our questions, those different things are the things that stand in our way. We stand in our own way. We are our own worst enemy sometimes. Don't be that. Understand that you have everything in full measure. Okay. "For in this unbelieving world, you will experience trouble and sorrows, but you must be courageous, for I have conquered the world." You guys, amen. He has conquered the world. Hallelujah. Jesus conquered the world. He went down to the hell and he said, boom, boom, boom. We can do this the easy way, or we can do this the hard way, right? Either way, I'm getting those keys of authority back from you. He took the keys of authority from the enemy when he went down there. He did not give him a way out. He said, "You've had long enough. I'll take those." And I'm pretty sure that all of the enemies, all little minions, peed themselves and it stank down there, okay? This is my interpretation, okay? I believe that this really happened. Do you guys see that? And it'll happen again. Like, I mean, you guys, this is good news. Good news of salvation is that it's given to you freely, whether you like it or not. How much you get to use of it or access it is up to you. And the scandal of grace is that it's there regardless of whether you like it or not. And it's for everyone, whether we like it or not. Even the brothers and sisters that we can't stand, that drive us crazy, and that are rude and mean and frizzy and all those things. It's for them too. So we have to let go of our own precepts of people and what we feel about them and begin to look at them through the eyes of Jesus. Even in their sin, he doesn't see them in their sin. He sees them in the blood of Jesus. Beautiful. We have to start doing that too. How do we expect people to change if we continue to call them by the same name? I was talking the other night, I think it was last night, to a new friend that we're making, and it was like one of my favorite quotes from Narnia and the Prince Caspian one, where he, like, Lucy and Peter go back and they're in Narnia, and she's, you know, the last time they went, all the animals spoke and they were having a good time, the trees danced and la-da-da. This time, things are like we see it now. The world is as it is. The trees aren't dancing. They're not speaking. The animals are not speaking the way that we do. And she goes up to try to talk to a grizzly bear, and this bear goes to attack her, and she's like, what in the world? And the man that was with them said, well, when you call a beast long enough, it begins to act like one. We do that to our brothers and sisters when we call them by names that are not what the Lord identifies them as, including ourselves. When you look in the mirror and you call yourself those things, ugly, inadequate, failure, whatever, you're doing the same thing. It's no wonder you act that way. It's because you're telling yourself and you're speaking these things out and believing those things. Sorry, guys, I know I'm kind of borrowing your time, but I'm wrapping up, I promise. Okay. I am. So yes, do not surrender to confusion or doubt. We are given discernment through the divine encourager, Holy Spirit, that will receive the things of Jesus and give them to us. We no longer have to petition for us. He no longer has to petition for us, but we get to speak to God directly. Matthew 9:27-31. Skyly.
After Jesus left the girl's home, two blind men followed along behind him, shouting, Son of David, have mercy on us. They went right into the house where he was staying, and Jesus asked them, Do you believe that I can make you see? Yes, Lord, they told him, we do. Then he touched their eyes and said, Because of your faith, it will happen. Then their eyes were opened, and they could see. Jesus sternly warned them, Don't tell anyone about this. But instead, they went out and spread his fame all over the region.
You guys, according to your faith, let it be done to you. Jesus was talking to the blind men, but we get this today. According to our faith, it will be done. It's not a matter of whether or not it will. It will, as long as we partner our faith with what God can do. And we believe full-heartedly that God can do it. Are you guys on this with me? Can I get an amen? Amen. All right. Okay. Our faith and confidence in his authority, or the power that's in the name of Jesus, is everything, even though we only need the faith the size of a mustard seed. Matthew 17:14-21. I think that's Katie.
And when they had come to the multitude, a man came to him, kneeling down to him and saying, Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is an epileptic and suffers severely, for he often falls into the fire and often into the water. So I brought him to your disciples, but they cannot cure him. Then Jesus answered and said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I bear with you? Bring him here to me. And Jesus rebuked the demon, and it came out of him, and the child was cured from that very hour. Then the disciples came to Jesus privately and said, Why could we not cast it out? So Jesus said to them, Because of your unbelief, for surely I say to you, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, Move from here to there, and it will move, and nothing will be impossible for you. However, this kind does not go out except by prayer and fasting.
So you guys, at the measure of our faith, right? Activate our faith and put it to action. Okay, because it's more than just knowing and hearing the word, right? We got to stop being spectators, and we need to start, because when we spectate only, deception comes, because we're watching these things, we hear them, but to not do them is a real great displeasure to us, because unfortunately it takes us out of the game and we begin to start questioning and wondering if God can really do those things. But how do we know if we don't try? If we don't put him to the test, right? Okay, so activate our faith and put it to action. James 2:14-21, me mom. I think people, it gets getting turned off.
The Living Bible translation.
That's fine.
Dear brothers, what's the use of saying that you have faith and are Christians if you aren't proving it by helping others? Will that kind of faith save anyone? If you have a friend who is in need of food and clothing, and you say to him, well, goodbye, and God bless you, stay warm and eat hearty, and then don't give him clothing or food, what does that do?
Good.
So you see, it isn't enough just to have faith. You must also do good to prove that you have it. Faith doesn't show itself by good works. Faith that doesn't show itself by good works is no faith at all. It is dead and useless.
You guys hear that?
But someone may well argue, you say the way to God is by faith alone, plus nothing. Well, I say that good works are important too. For without good works, you can't prove whether you have faith or not. But anyone can see that I have faith by the way I act.
That's right. So our faith without works is just words, just beliefs, and it falls dead. I'm not saying that to go out and start working, because we can't work for our salvation. It's already given to us, right? But we get to activate our faith in the grace of God, right? To whatever measure we allow ourselves to. And those works need to prove the fruit of what we believe. So if we believe that God is a miracle working God, we should be seeing miracles happen. If we believe that God is a healer, we should be able to see healings happen. Demons released out of people and commanded into pigs around us, right? Like, these are things that we are able to do because God gives us the authority when he gave his son. You guys, that is good news. Good news, I tell you. The people that I see on the streets from day to day, they are going to have their day with Jesus. And they're going to be freed before them, because I'm believing something is stirring up in me and I'm starting to realize, wow, I have done a hindrance to them. I've loved them, but I have not shown them the good works of God. I have not believed for them that I am enough with the Jesus in me to partner with him and allow them to be freed. Okay? But let's not get it twisted. We all still have we have salvation no matter what. Okay? I want to propose that we're no longer sinners, and instead, through the blood of Jesus Christ and in his authority, I do not identify as a sinner. Okay? That's what I mean. Because I tell people this all the time, and they get a little bit frustrated with me and their and theology, because I say that I'm not a sinner. It doesn't mean I don't sin. I do sin, but my identity is not in the sin. I do not identify myself. Like, if I lie, I am not a liar. If I go and steal something, I am not a thief. I made a choice, but I can choose to differ from that choice and right that wrong, right? I do not have to live in that. I do not have to believe that I'm going to continue to do that. I get to say, you know what, Jesus, in your grace and in your mercy, I want to be better. And the longer that I spend, the more time that I spend with him, the more time that I'm around him, the more I begin to look like him, and those things begin to fall off, and it gets easier to not want to watch pornography. It gets easier to not want to have to lie to get myself out of trouble, because I'm going to own my mistakes. It gets easier to tell anxiety to go, because I'm not doing things that make me anxious, because I know the authority that's in me. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen. Does that make sense, you guys? I identify as in Christ as a daughter, as a princess. I have authority. I'm loved. And I get to operate from that place, and so do you. When we start acting and believing that we are these things, that we are called to priesthood, that we are called to higher grounds, that we can do this, we will. We have to stop telling ourselves that we're not enough. You don't need a pastor to pray for salvation for somebody, to walk them through that prayer. You are enough. The Jesus that's in you, that you received and said, yes, I believe in you, is enough. So go out and give them out, okay? Stop holding them to yourself and stop believing the lie that the enemy is trying to tell you that you are not enough, because you are. It says so. I've told you all day. Okay? So some practical application. Hold on. Yes, again, spending time with him allows me to identify with him, his nature, and look more like him. The sinning is no longer tempting, but instead convicting. Okay? Practical application, hold God to his words. Habakkuk 2:4 says, or 2:1-4. 2:2-4. Then the Lord answered me and said, write the vision and make it plain on tablets, that they may run who reads it. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it will speak, and it will not lie. Though it tarries, wait for it, because it will surely come, and it will not tarry. Behold,
the proud. His soul is not upright in him, but the just shall live by his faith. Amen. Amen. So you guys, if you are having an issue with this, with like maybe seeing a healing happen or finances restored or your marriage is falling apart and you don't know why, write it out, your vision, the thing that you want to see. Do you want to see healing? Do you want to see communication restored in your marriage? Do you want to see finances beginning to be on the better side of things? Write those things down and begin to pray over them. Declare authority over them in the name of Jesus, scripture over them. Read that scripture. God said that where two or more gather, he is there among us, and that this will happen, right? God says that I have him in his fullness and that his authority is my authority. So I command that my finances begin to bring abundance in Jesus' name. I command that that whatever is toiling with our marriage has to go in the name of Jesus, and communication, lines of communication are open freely in Jesus' name. And it might feel like it's delayed. It might feel like, oh, this is taking forever because we are part of a microwave world, you guys. We're expecting things like this. God is not an instant God. He can be sometimes, but he loves the process and he loves to test our faith and he loves for us to challenge him. And sometimes he isn't going to give us the yes that we're expecting. It's going to look like he wants it to. And it's far better that it does, because he's not confined by us and the things that we are in this world, right? His ways are higher. Amen? Amen. So when you find yourself stuck and you're having a really hard time seeing something happen, persevere. Stand steadfast, right? Stand. Have your armor of the Lord on, ready for battle, because the enemy is going to come at you. When you start believing and starting to speak these things out, I promise you, you are going to have chaos. I promise you, you are going to have really bad things happen. Sickness will fall, all these different things, because the enemy is going to try really hard. He's going to throw the biggest tantrum because he's not getting his way anymore. He thought he had you, but he don't. Okay. Again, this is our land. He has to go. You say, get behind me, Satan. You have no more authority here in the name of Jesus. I command you to leave, and he has to flee. He can't be there anymore because of the Jesus that's in you and the authority that you carry. He has to go. When he says go, the enemy has to flee. In Jesus' name. So, Father, I just thank you, Lord, for this time. God, I thank you for this word. Lord, I pray that the words that I've spoken today, God, just bring life to those of us that are in this room, God, including myself. Lord, that my fire would continue to be stoked and stirred, Father, that it would begin to get bigger and more contagious, Father, that it would begin to reach people and all the spheres around me, whether I'm just at the grocery store in line, that somebody would notice the glow, God, because of the time that I'm spending with you. Lord, I pray that we would all begin to just take on the identity in you and no longer of the world, what the world says we are, what the people in our lives have told us that we are, or the lack thereof, but God, that we would begin to walk in the full authority of who you say we are, God, how you created us to originally be, Jesus. Yes, God. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you for your tender mercy. Thank you for loving the brothers that I don't know how to. God, I pray that you would show each and every one of us how to be more like you. God, that you begin to work on those things in us that are hard to let go. Father, that as we read your word, that your life begins to just jump off these pages and we begin to experience you differently. God, as we each go out into this week, Father, that we'd have divine appointments with you and with your people, God, and that you would put people before us who want to know what that difference is in us, Jesus, that they begin to ask questions and we begin to have bold answers because of the authority that is in us, Lord, knowing that we are sons and daughters of the highest of high kings. I just bless you guys. We bless you guys to see who you truly are and to begin to speak those things over yourselves in Jesus' name. That when the enemy does rear his ugly, nasty head, that you guys kick him out. Say, nope. You're done. You done said your thing. You gotta go. In Jesus' name. Amen.
In your head, lay back against you, breathe, feel your heart beat. This His love is so deep, it's more than I can say. I'm melting your peace, so overwhelming. I wanna sit at your feet, drink from the cup in your hand, lay back against you. Love is so deep, it's more than I can say. I melt in your feet, it's overwhelming. Oh, overwhelming. Oh, your love is so deep, it's overwhelming. Love is so deep, it's more than I can say. Melting your being, it's overwhelming.
Wow, this is the most sides ever had people in it. It always seems to be this side. So what we need to do is, when we hear the word, we need to be doers of the word, as James says, doers of the word, not just hearers only. So this is a practical communication for us to go and live out. If there's things in here, there was a lot there, but there may have been things that the Holy Spirit spoke directly to you to go out and start walking. And I encourage you to make changes this week that will allow fruit to bear in your life, that you'll be able to see permanent changes, not just, oh yeah, that's a good idea. No, let this word that the Lord brought to us today stirred his daughter so that she would be able to communicate this to us, and maybe go back and, you know, take a picture of this, go read through some of the verses. You know, don't let this moment just become a moment that is in the past. Let it be something that's a stepping stone to what God wants to do in you in the coming days. Amen. Thank you, Nancy, for being vulnerable and sharing. And I just agree with that blessing over your life, that the Lord is going to produce fruit in all of you and fruit that will remain in Jesus' name. Amen. Love you. Have a great week.